So the topic, let it be, whisper the word of wisdom. The wisdom is very important. We have to be wise. Actually, what we call the Savaka in Pali is a good listener. Savaka Sangho, well practiced, is the disciple of the Lord Buddha. It means that the disciple, the one who listened to the teaching, practiced very, very well. And then Uchupatipanno practiced straightforwardly, that the disciple of the Lord Buddha. And Nyaya Patipanno insightfully practice, that's the disciple of the Lord Buddha. And Samiji, we can say, practice according to the truth, or practice perfectly, is the disciple of the Lord Buddha. So in order to get something for our mind, we have to listen. Once the teaching comes to us in a quiet place or quiet moment, we can say, whispering to our ear, something comes to our mind in a very peaceful way, in a very peaceful manner. We can say that wisdom dawned upon us. But in order to have that, in order to have the that wisdom, or let it be, it take a long training. You have to train yourself. Very important in Buddhism, we have what you call life, two things, the body and the mind. The body belongs to our father and mother, belong to the four elements, we say. That mind, the knowing mind, belong to us. So that have come with us, stay with us, and go with us into the future life. Whether the future will be happy or not, depends on the good karma. So that have to be very careful. What going to do, how to take care of ourselves, how to live our life, is so important. Because of the great compassion and kindness, the Buddha has come to help us. And through his great purity, he has the great, what they call the great wisdom. So that's the great, the greatest virtue of the Lord Buddha, great compassion, great purity, and great wisdom. So as a disciple of the Lord Buddha, you have to be a very good person, a good man, a good woman. Be kind and compassionate. It is a must for all of us. Because I always said that we are social beings. We are linked together. We are related to each other. You're not born alone. We have father and mother to look after us. Teachers who have given us a good education, and so many people looking after us. And in fact, our success and prosperity depend on many, many people. So to be selfish is very stupid, very, very stupid. If you do practice that way, very selfish person, there's no place for you on earth. You will be, when you die, you become a hungry ghost, had nothing to eat, had nothing to wear, because no kindness and no generosity. I like to tell you the foundation and the practice of Buddhism first, as a lay person, so you won't forget. So be kind and generous. When you give things to the people, as they do, the Buddhist people do, they give food, they give clothes, they give accommodation, they give medicine. So through giving food, we give life, a long life. happen because of giving food to other. Look after monks, look after the poor, look after anyone, anybody, through giving them food, you support their life. So what goes around comes around, it comes back to you. You give the best, you get the best. So all come back to you. And then the food can last for days or only one day or for a few days, but cloth to wear lasts longer. So the benefit from having that is great, far greater. Those who look handsome and beautiful, what they taught us, what they said in the scripture, come from giving cloth to others, something to wear. So they look handsome, they look good. As you see that some of us not that handsome, not that beautiful, but with a good dress, oh, look so nice, so pretty. So it's so important. Have a very comfortable life. Have blankets, have everything, and that's something to wear or to comfort your life. And the other one, accommodation. Cloth can last few years, maybe longer, but accommodation, if you help to build any accommodation, can last for years and years, for a long, long time. Whoever have a chance to do that, they have a strong foundation for their life. Wherever they're born, they will always get a very comfortable place to live. So some very unfortunate don't have that much at all. Some have been in the city for a long time, no house, just rent the house, not much left, just survive. I have seen here, we have seen them because I have been in Sydney for a long time, since 1974. Some very successful indeed. But based on kindness and generosity and morality, they're doing very well, they're doing good. And so accommodation is a must. What happened? In the early days, Buddhist monastery or center, very, very small. In those days, in the early days, when we look around, we're looking for a house that have a big room so that we can put our Buddha image. And then even the garage can house the Buddha as the place to worship. That's very humble from the beginning. Now, we build up a large monastery, have very good and very comfortable. And so it's so important, like a forest monastery, it's a must. You can practice meditation at home. You can be very calm and very peaceful. But as a lay person, so much activities, so much what we call them, things are happening, and always see as something you like and something you don't like, liking and disliking, or love and hatred in the family. But out there, when you practice in the forest temple, oh, so calm and so peaceful. When the nature is calm and peaceful, you can see that there's nothing wrong there. See the nature, how it works, without causing trouble to everyone and the body. And then we look inside our own mind, the distractions, liking and disliking, hatred and love and so on. Oh, we are wrong. No, we can say no. So then we meditate, have the mind very calm and very, very peaceful, and blend with the nature very, very well. So it's so important for all of you to have time in the forest temple or in anywhere in the forest by yourself or with a group of the people, the mind would calm down easily. Whatever we do, we should think of the Lord Buddha all the time. He's so kind, so good in the palace when he was young, looking after his own people, helping his father, to look after the kingdom. It's so good, so wonderful life, and yet cannot achieve enlightenment because the environment is not suitable. So you have to leave them behind, stay in the forest and practice meditation. So great wisdom arrive or dawn upon him. So after that, having good meditation, so that distracted mind have to be calm and peaceful before you can get a very good wisdom. But I'd like to say again that before you can come to this, you give medicine as a habit now. But this is the foundation of Buddhism. The monk going to survive, the society going to survive, or you as a lay person, how much they will respect you because of your kindness and generosity. Very important. You have to be kind and to be a good person. Not necessary to keep a lot of things like that. No. You do what you can, but your heart and your mind have to be great all the time. When you have time, practice metta, send your loving kindness to all living beings. May all living beings be well and happy. Keep saying like this. So wherever you go, you get respected by people, by animals, by the ghosts, and by the spirit. So giving food, giving clothes, giving accommodation, and giving medicine are important. They said, well, what are you going to do? Letting go of the gift for the happiness of others. And in fact, our Buddha, he has been a great leader. He is a great teacher of the world. What he has done a lot in the past is generosity. So you can see from the sixth perfection in Mahayana, start with generosity first, morality second, and then effort the third, and then patience the fourth, and then samadhi, meditation is the fifth, and then wisdom is the sixth. So generosity is the first thing first before coming to morality. Some people get stuck with generosity without keeping the five precepts properly. In practice, we emphasize on this one, because if you are not practicing, you still do the wrong thing. You cause the trouble to yourself, you cause trouble to all other living beings. And so much bad karma have ever done by you in the past, and if you add it up again, you will be in trouble. That new bad karma would call the other bad karma from past to come, and there's no place for you to live a happy life. So you must practice what they call morality. Here we talk about the universe, the seed of enlightenment. So that this seed of enlightenment can grow when we have the morality as the foundation. So this heart and this mind, the knowing mind, can grow if we have the morality at the base or at the foundation. If we don't have that morality, what we call it will stay there dormant, what we call it never grow, but it never die, but never grow. So that seed of enlightenment, Unibat, Bodhicitta, we say in Pali, have to be on the, what you call, good morality. It will grow. So here we have our body that coming from mother and father, coming from the four elements, the earth, the water, the air, and the element. We take care of it, make sure that this body never do anything wrong to harm or to hurt anyone. That means that the first precept must be kept by us. No killing any living being, no stealing, no committing sexual conduct, and then no drinking intoxicating drink. Some people, they go to practice the the fifth precepts. Wherever you go, the drinking, intoxicating is there all the time, at airport or anywhere, any place you can see that. So in practice, it's not good. I would say that if you still killing, harming other living being, if you don't understand their suffering, no one on earth would understand your suffering. No one. If you don't understand them, they never understand you. If you don't forgive them, they never forgive you. The karma, the bad karma would, what we call, happen to us. That we, there's no chance to escape whatever we do. So we have to stay away from harming and hurting other living beings. Then, based on this, our loving kindness and compassion is great, unlimited to all living beings without exception. And then you practice generosity. So in order to perfect that, you must not take what is not given. So no stealing. Always give for the happiness of others, for the happiness of yourself, and for the happiness of others. So if still taking what is not given, the mind is still negative. Greed is there. The longer you have greed, the more you get suffering for yourself. So, and then it goes against generosity. So the good and the bad, if the bad one, like the mind has one seat, has one place. If greed take over, no place for generosity. If generosity take over, no place for greed. So you have to practice this precept, the second one. All over the place, you heard about the corruption and all this, because they are not practicing what we call the second precept. But a person who has been with this precept for a long time, sometimes as a young boy, a young girl, finding the something lost or forgot by other, always return to the unknown. Even the taxi driver, as poor as him, never take what is not given, always return, even sometimes thousand upon thousand or even million dollars, return to unknown, because of the precept has been done for so long in the past. Never take. So that kind of pure life would have only happiness, no suffering. So in practice, we call it letting go of the bad one. Anything bad, we can say no. Stealing is bad, killing is bad, committing sexual misconduct is bad. So we don't do it, we don't practice it. So anything good, we do it, we practice it. So the action have to be wholesome, and not to commit sexual conduct. That's very important precept. That's what you call, we can control lust and attachment to the sensual pleasures. This one is very sensitive one, is very important one, is very hard one, but you have to. You have partners, you have husband, you have wife, you have to be very sincere and honest. No other way that taught by the Lord Buddha, you have to be kind and good to each other. Sincerity and honesty is the best for your life. So from that sincerity of husband and wife, of father and mother, and then having a very good children, and then good education would follow. Because of that, good society would follow. So any person who have chance to be a leader, oh, such a good man, good women, will lead a good community, will lead a good nation to great prosperity and happiness. But without observing this precept, oh no. The worst part is that some people change their partner one after another, and as if they are chasing for love and attachment to the sensual pleasures. But at the end of the day, that person not loved, not respected by anyone. At the end of the day, that person, since he doesn't practice sincerity and honesty and respect to other, he even no love, no respect for himself. And then that would be the end of life. But if we practice this precept strictly, oh, have a very wonderful life. So it's so important that how you can see how kind and how compassionate the Lord Buddha have been to all living beings. He doesn't want any trouble happen to anyone, anybody. And then when it comes to the control of the speech, that's so important here. If you lie, you go against the truth, you lie to yourself, you lie to other, you know, either might not know, but they think the ghost would know, yourself would know, then what you can, the split mentality, you are in trouble, you run into trouble, and then eventually no escape from the law of the karma. So whatever you say have to be true, have to be true. Whatever you say have to be pleasant. Whatever you say have to be productive or produce, what you call it, have to bring happiness and peace to us on the time. And whatever you say should be according to what the Buddha taught, what we call the cause and the effect, the good thing, have to say the good thing. If you can't, you have to keep quiet. And if anyone doesn't practice this truth, no chance to see the formal truth, no chance to see the what they call the ultimate truth, what they call the freedom from suffering. No way, no chance. So it's so important that you have to stay away from the bad speech, you know? So say no to the bad action, say no to the bad speech, and then why the fifth precept is so important. Mindfulness here is so important. Once you lose mindfulness, you lose everything. We can see that quite a number of people, as we get older and older, you can see clearly those who get drunk and have that kind of habit, their face are not shining, their face is miserable, their face is full of sickness and disease. You can look at them. And once they can't control themselves, oh, so sad when we see the drunk. Worse with the women who get drunk. Oh no. So this is very important for all of us, that if we can stay from this, you have mindfulness as a base. The one is so important. When you come to this, when you have the 5 minutes established, wherever you go, oh, you are well looked after. That wisdom would come with you all the time, would say no to anything bad, say yes to anything good, and you keep doing the good thing all along. You know how to do it because you have mindfulness. So through say if you don't observe that the precept, what will happen? You can't be better, you cannot be happy, you would have a miserable life because of your greed, because of your anger, because of your delusion, because of your selfishness. But if you are kind and generous plus morality, then you have a very wonderful life. For sure, you would be happy because you don't harm and hurt anyone, anybody. Plus kindness and generosity, plus metta, loving kindness to all living beings, oh, impossible not to be happy. You would be happy person all along. So, and not only this life, but in many lives to come, because of strong morality. And then you will get what we call it, what you want. Prosperity would follow you everywhere. Some people might say, oh, a lot of people who are not good and have plenty, but yeah, one day they would have trouble. Like what you see, that some people have plenty of money, but then have a miserable life. So you can say, you can see that. And I read some of the Zen master teaching. He said, the material things like the dead thing. You know, if you have plenty, you have a lot, you are the king or the queen of the dead. So for them, doesn't mean that much. Doesn't mean that much at all. As long as they can survive, can live their life, that enough. The rest they would give to other. They won't take, they won't, what they call, collect. But they're not so important for them. They would give away for the happiness and peace of for all other. And then through keeping the precepts, slowly we can approach what they call the freedom from suffering, nibbana, that comes as suffering would disappear, what we call the mental suffering would disappear from us from time to time, and then the rather reliable one or the permanent one would come to us more and more open. And eventually to that precept, we can come to the end of the suffering. What they say that the samadhi that has been looked after by morality for a long, long time would bring a great, great benefit. And the wisdom that has been supported by meditation for a long, long time would bring what is a great benefit. And then the citta that has been well established with wisdom would at the end come to the end of the suffering. So it's a must for all of us, like a universal bodhicitta is the seed of enlightenment, must have morality as a good ground, as good foundation. So we say that this whole world, wherever there is fertile soil, there is a good tree growing. Good rivers, good trees, because of the good soil and strong support from this earth. So any noble virtue ever arise in us come from observing morality. It's so important. So in practice, if you have anything surplus, you give away for the happiness of others, we call dana or generosity. And this, what we call, is outer, what we call, is the material gift. It's not inside yet. So, and then when you come to the practice, we can say that letting go of the gift, we call generosity. And then when you come to morality, you give away the bad action. Never allow your body to have anything negative or unwholesome. Never. And then your speech have to be very careful. Never have any negative one, never have unwholesome one. So the knowing mind that have this body as a house, living in a very comfortable, very positive, very wholesome body, oh, how much peace and happiness would arise. So make sure that this body have to be wholesome, and make sure that the speech have to be wholesome, and then the mind have to be wholesome. So the body and the mind, once it come together, in harmony, in positive, in wholesome condition, it's wonderful indeed. So then when you come to the meditation, there's a way to control. Here we have eyes, ears, nose, the tongue, and the body and the mind itself. What do you call the six sense, the external one, the inner one. So when we meditate, we try to concentrate on one thing. So whatever happened, whatever inside us, any form of liking and disliking would push away. We got to concentrate on one thing. One thing is neutral. One thing is not negative. So we concentrate on that. The chant is there, the mind can be calm and peaceful. So when we come to this, we compare our knowing mind to the water. You see, water can be murky, can be muddy, can be very clean, can be very pure, very perfect. So under the good condition where there's no wind, the water settled down, the dust and dirt settled down, you can see clearly the sand, you can see clearly the rock, because the sand is clean, the rock is clean, so the water is clean because there's no dust and dirt to disturb. So the mind that supported by wholesome action, wholesome speech, and the mind that supported by the concentration, still and calm, just like the clear water. So won't be murky, won't be muddy, because there's nothing coming to disturb. So the Zen master invite us or taught us not to put stick or stone to disturb and the dust and the dirt in the water. Otherwise, come up and become murky and muddy. So this is something so important. Or just like the sea, you see, some part you can see it so clear, so calm. But when the wind comes, you make a wave, up, down, up, down. And through that wave, you cannot see your own reflection clearly. You cannot see the sand and the rock there, because the wind or the wave that distort the image. So when you sit calm, away from liking, disliking, away from love and hatred, you are what you call to settle down your own knowing mind. Away from liking and disliking, there is no way of liking, no way of disliking. So this is the meditation. So good. And then about the dust and the dirt, where it come from? So they come from attachment to this body, what they say, to the sensual pleasures. So as a lay person, we stop with the five precepts. Practice meditation from time to time. Don't go in full force, otherwise the house, the place you live, the family you are with, very difficult. Because it's not because your meditation is so good. You are not supposed to be there. It's not your place. It's beyond that. Why? Because the peace and calmness, the clarity of the mind away from the dust and dirt, far better than any attachment to the sensual pleasure. They're all raw flat. No meaning whatsoever. There's no matter how much they have and all this, no meaning, because the mind so good have no burden. So So for the ordinary person or good person who have family, have to look after family, have to live a worldly life, I would say that 5 precepts is good enough. Come to the temple from time to time, have excuse for the 8 precepts, not to do anything with it as sensual relation, no eating after midday, no listening to the music, and no beautification of the body, and not sitting of the high bed. That's what we call the 8 precepts. Why? It's so important to stay away from any kind, any attachment, any craving, or any desire, or any happiness that would arise from the sensual pleasures. So the mind becomes calm and peaceful, and can stay by itself. So with the 5 precepts, there are quite a number of things that you have to be aware of. So as a good person, you must not drink, stay away from drinking, intoxicating drink. Don't go out at night. Don't frequent the bar and club. Don't do the gambling. Don't have the bad friends. And don't be lazy. Apart from the precept, no? There's no place for the lazy person. You know? You have to. Before, I thought only the farmers back home, they work very hard. When I come to the city and see the people, they work very hard. At our place, the car around there start running maybe even before 4 o'clock. I notice even I can remember the noise of the truck and all that. They go and to work. They're not going for holiday anywhere. They work hard. So we have to work hard. From that work hard, followed by saving money. Okay? That's so important that you must be able to look after yourself financially, you know? This is so important. Work hard and save money, and always have good friends. In fact, that this is so important. I see that many of you, like from Chinese family, some don't have much or at all, but they have good friends. They lend money to their friends and so on. They can make business, they do, life's very comfortable because of having good friends. And if any time when we are in trouble, our friends can be good advisor. Somebody can whisper at our ear and saying a good thing, the word of wisdom to us, and then we feel good. And then the last is that spend money wisely. Okay? That one's very important. Spend money wisely. Nowadays, a lot of collection around, you know, for your own new collection. So many things unnecessary. The boy, the girl have been spoiled when they were young, and when teenager, they are spoiled again. When they have family, they are spoiled again. No good. And then in dealing with people in the society, always kind, generous, always pleasant word, always helpful, always humble and polite. So this is what the Buddha like to see us practice or training ourselves. But when it comes to the practice of meditation, we see how can we stay away from sensual pleasures. It's not that difficult. See as it is or as they are. When the mind is so calm, so peaceful, stay by itself, it can see what the Buddha asked us to see the body as it is or as they are. before we can let it be, we have to see first. That's the last. What the last you want to get. So see the body, the flesh and the bone, and see all that, what they call everything. And that sensual pleasures fading bit by bit. This is the way of the monk in a forest temple they practice. So there's no way they would fall into the sensual pleasure, because the wisdom is very sharp, the very peaceful mind, they can see clearly. But for all of us, as a lay person, because greed stops you from seeing the truth, from seeing generosity, from seeing the happiness. Anger stops you from seeing the truth, from seeing the happiness and peace. And ignorance stops you from seeing the truth, the happiness, and so on. So we can see the worldly thing would stop you from seeing the spiritual life. You can't see. Once you're blind, you can't see. So practicing meditation, when you see the truth, and you can let go, let it be. So like we can ask ourselves, like this body, so we attach the body, say, these four elements, have you heard that the four elements said, oh, I love you so much? Have you heard the water, the air, the fire, the earth says such a thing to you? Who said that? You say. So you are the one who say yes and no to yourself. You, the one who create the trouble. They don't understand anything. So you, the one, you say this is wonderful. You say it's, oh, so good, this and that. And because of everything is what we call the and not true, deceptive, one day you fall. You cannot depend on them. We can say that everything that ultimately that we have is deceptive. You like to see this body stay forever, can't. You like to see the happiness arrive from this mind, stay forever, can't. You like to see the memory last forever, you can't. You like to see your thought last forever, you can't. You like to see your consciousness last forever, impossible, deceptive. What is the truth then? Nibbana. When the mind comes to the truth, that's the real thing. That's your great happiness and peace. There's no other way. That's the one is very, the most reliable. So that then you can see that kindness to all living beings is necessary. Compassion to all living beings is necessary. Honesty and respect to all living beings is necessary. Truthfulness is very, very necessary, because the teaching is dealing with the truth. And then that the fifth one, have mindfulness established. Not because of only the drinking, but what you call with obsessed, what you want, get drunk with everything. When we, as a boy, as a girl, we mad, we are so mad with all the toy and this sort of the thing. And when we grow up as teenager, so much pleasure, we mad, we crazy with them. And then when we have family, we look after, so mad with them. When we have property, so mad with them. No mindfulness established. It cannot be yourself. So, and then you get old, oh, you're so crazy with that, and you have sickness, there's no mindfulness established. If mindfulness is a bit, you are yourself right through, whether you're young, you're old, you're sick, or you die. So why that mindfulness is so important. What you call the sati. So must not in Thai that you are obsessed or drunk. Like some people obsessed with the past, obsessed with the future, and so crazy. You know? Without this is the way of the world. If not practicing, they miss the present mind. They're all obsessed with what happened to them in the past and dream of what's going to happen to them in the future. They miss the present mind. And then if there is anything come from anger, oh, having good precept as the standard of the practice, not to harm, not to hurt, not to cause trouble to anyone, anybody, metta, loving kindness, go and spread to everyone. There is, if there is a fire, there is water to stop it. Always the case. If you say it's a fire, there's water, and is it a fire of lust? If you have good understanding and see the truth as it is, that fire can stop. And if there is darkness because of greed, hatred, and ignorance, we bring the torch of what you are of wisdom, the light of wisdom, to help us, to guide us all along. So, at the end of the practice, once the mindfulness is established, have a samadhi. Now, the wisdom we call the panya in Buddhism, so important. No, the wisdom understand the four noble truths. The suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of the suffering. So with a very good behavior, good training and practice and meditation, we can see this every day. Our lives is subject to old age, sickness, and death. It's working itself non-stop. Like the heart beating like that. One day it's going to stop. One day everything will say goodbye to us. So see as it is, see as it is, and we ask whether that four nature understand their own suffering. No, they don't understand. Who are in suffering then? The mind, the knowing mind that has ignorance, having trouble, having attachment toward that four elements. So let it be as it is or as they are. Now, when it comes to wisdom, let it be. Don't cling to it. And then the feeling, what do you call them, the vedana, coming and going. Many times we experience happiness, many times we experience suffering, even the neutral feeling, so many times. It come and go. Whatever rise up, have to pass away. Always, if there is any birth of anything, there will be the death of that thing. Always that. So, what is that has no birth and no decay, no disease and no death? It's the knowing mind. So, happiness is the feeling that arises up. Then it has to pass away. Suffering come and then have to pass away. So you just stay calm and let it be. Yeah, this is what, let it be as it is or as they are. Let it be. Okay? Then whisper of wisdom. And even the now I struggle with my memory. We chant the first time I chant the in Darwin. We have our teacher coming along on the full moon night, or what, on the 15th day of the waning moon and waxing moon, we have to chant the Patimokkha, 227 rules. That our teacher said, well, when we have four months, somebody have to chant it. If I can't chant, he won't go. But I like to see him go and see the people. So I do my best, but I have done but are not so good. So in order to have that perfect memory, take a long time. So in aeroplane, from Sydney to Cairns, from Cairns to Darwin, I have to recite quietly, try to memorize it. So yeah, I did quite well. So everything is impermanent. So, but what is in that knowing mind would last forever. Even that consciousness also come and go, come and go. So once we understand that, let it be. Stay calm and concentrated. Don't attach to it. Let it be. But in order to come to that let it be, lot of work have to be done. So the four truths, suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of suffering, the path leading to the end of the suffering. The end of the suffering is the, what you call, is the product, is the, the benefit or the great thing that will happen when we perfect our practice. So there's nothing much to do with that, but see the suffering as it is, as they are, it's a must. We must see what we call the fire as fire, heat as heat, and then we won't touch it. If we don't see the danger, the disadvantage, the impermanence, all the things, then there's no need, there's no, what you know, inspiration to practice the path leading to the end of the suffering. So we must see the suffering as it is or as they are, and then working on our precepts. So we can say here that if you don't have the five precepts, what happened? There's no such things as what you call the right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right understanding, and right thought, because the precept is not good enough. But if you have right speech, right action, right effort, then right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration, right understanding, and right thought. So no chance for anyone who doesn't practice the five would have will come to the end of the suffering or see less suffering. They have to suffer again and again, again and again. But once we have the five precepts established, we make an effort and try to meditate. We feel that our action, our speech is good, and even that our life is good, then the mind calm and peaceful. So it can, it's very helpful indeed, and then can concentrate. The mind has so much power to see, to know, and to understand. Even, but yeah, they ask you not to attach to it. Sometimes you can see as a vision for your own, for the future, what could happen, sometimes like that, but don't attach to it, because in that kind of dream, we are not fully awake, half asleep, and the mind not clear enough. You cannot see the truth. So what prevents us from seeing the truth is attachment or desire for the sensual pleasure, unhappy and uneasy feeling with yourself, with other, and then sleepiness, and then distraction, and then doubt. This is, you can't see, this stop, but the fire generated stop you from seeing the truth. Or you can simplify as love and hatred, what you like and what you don't like. So in practice, think of the what happened to the Prince Siddhartha when he had that kind of competition. Devadatta, he use that arrow and hit the right target, just like that, you know, on the spot. And people, oh, how our Prince Siddhartha can win that, because Devadatta hit the spot already. But when Prince Siddhartha fired the arrow, he split that arrow into two. So in practice, love and hate have to fall apart. The knowing mind have to be there. Let go, let it be, let it be. So working on this, when it comes to when you become a good man, good woman, what you're supposed to do is meditation. But don't, what do you call it? As a lay person, you might have a side effect, no? You run away from the family. No good, no good. But there would be the time when you are grow old, advance in age, then you have your own room and practice and visit the monastery more often. That's the good for a person who's so kind and so good to each other, so sincere on each, to each other, and have a chance to practice for him or for herself in a separate room. So that and prepare yourself for the future, or if possible, come to the end of the suffering as you wish. So the mind is something that we have to look after. It belongs to us. So all of us here, you come to this world as human being, you're very lucky. And not only that, but we said you have five Buddhism. We say to ourselves, but we don't say to others, it's the best on earth. You must be practicing, otherwise there's no meaning. So something that stops people from seeing the truth, from practicing with him, because they break the five precepts. Those who go to war, who are fighting all the time, corruption all the time, seeking sensual pleasures all the time, drinking on the time, and lying on the time, no hope. No hope. They would be in trouble all along. No chance. So we have to, if you really like to be a good person, a very good Buddhist, you must keep the precept. Because this, say again, 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 and again, by the Buddha and by all teachers. Venerable Su Yun, the last great Sun Master, said to his disciple, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. This is the one that you have to follow. And then attendant keep asking how to keep this monkhood, Sila, keeping the precept. So this is a must, no? That means if a lay person having the precept, if the monk having the precept, oh, Buddhism so wonderful, so great. That means if Unibat, you know, the seat of enlightenment, have Sila as a good ground, oh, the fruits of enlightenment, Pala, what do you call it, or Bodhi Kusuma, the flowers of enlightenment, would be there. But without this practice, it lies dormant, everyone. Won't grow, but never die. But not only that, the bad one would be used in the wrong way. The fact that why circling in the samsara, because the knowing mind never die. You suffer endlessly, from life to life, from life to life, because something is that knowing mind. So in practice, remove all the bad things and then perfect on the good one, all the good one, and then the mind would stand by itself and come to the freedom from suffering. So as you cross the ocean or the suffering, what you're supposed to do, you have this body, like the boat, make sure that the boat is not leaking. That means we don't break the precepts. So in that boat, there is a water, plenty of water. Love and hatred is the water there. Okay? You have to try to empty that water. So the mind become concentrated, very light, and then that boat will come to the other shore, to the end of the suffering. So that before that we can come to let it be, a lot of wisdom. The first one, generosity. You must have that kind of wisdom. The first level have to be kind and good to everyone, and then the good precept then to you control this the whole body and the mouth to have a good precepts, and then to have control the sixth sense, to have good meditation through practicing meditation. Make sure that this mind of yours always have peace and calmness and concentration and wisdom. So this never die. One day the body goes ash to ash or dust to dust, the four elements back to all four elements. You are with your own virtue. So if you have the great virtue there, great compassion, great purity and great wisdom, you will be happy forever. Eventually you will come to the end of the suffering. So at the end of practice, you can say, letting go of the gift we call generosity, letting go of the bad action and bad speech we call morality, letting go of distractions and worry, love and hatred we call meditation, letting go of the attachment we call wisdom. So we let the rupa, what they call the physical phenomena, as it is or as they are, let it be. There is always sickness and death there. Don't worry about them. It's not you. And then there is a feeling, happy and unhappy feeling, neutral feeling, come and go. Let it be. It's not you. You stay calm, okay? Equanimity. And then memory come and go, let it be. And mental activities also, why when you think too much, no good. Let it be. Stay with your calmness. And then the consciousness there, let it be. As it is or as they are, then you have no trouble. So every day we should practice as if there's someone come to whisper at our ear all the time. Be a good boy, be a good girl, behave yourself. Listen to the teaching of the Lord Buddha, okay? And let go, and let go, and let it be. Okay? That's all. If you have any question, keep practicing, no? Because you're the one who going to look after yourself, look after your family, whoever come to you for help and support, you can give good advice to them. And whoever go against Buddhism, saying this and that, if we have a chance to defend, with your good word and so on, and you can do so. If not possible, just keep quiet. But by not knowing anything when they say and don't say anything, oh, no good. So you have to be wise enough, no? Help them to understand the teaching of the Lord Buddha.
Question.
Yeah.
Sorry, thanks for the talk.
was wondering, like, because the title of the topic is Let It Be, so, and I know that you said that when we experience things like happiness or suffering, we should let it be, but it can be very hard to do that. So I was wondering if you have any tips on how
we can actually that's come with a strong morality as something to support you, and meditation. Whatever happens when the mindfulness stand out, when you hear something people say, in fact, sometimes you know beforehand what going to happen. Sometimes, in some case, they'll be quarreling, they will be saying things, there will be something happen, and how they're going to be, and all that you know. And that the wisdom that come there. But even before that, mindfulness is there. As a person, you're not going to harm and hurt anyone, anybody. That's the standard. And peace and calmness to all, without prejudice at all. No liking, no disliking, no. So easy to deal. And then whatever happened, that it could come and go and tell you like that. You don't be too excited. Everything is anicca, dukkha, anatta. Don't be too excited. So that is very helpful. But keep practicing. At any time you lose your mindfulness, then you lose. But then you have to sit back, relax, try to call back again, and try to settle down your mind. Have to good understand. All in all, don't bring suffering to yourself or bring suffering to anyone on earth. So the mind never dies. So when you say to yourself like that, and then what happens if you have strong belief, unshakable faith in the Buddha? Just repeat the virtue of the Buddha, or say, or even any mantra, in Mahayana tradition, Amitabha, keep saying that. Have strong belief in it, in the Buddha. When the mind stay calm, away from distraction, the happiness already. And then you can say, the other thing, not much. No trouble with anything. So that mindfulness, very important, sati here. So we can say that, like metta, loving kindness to all, through the first one. Second one, not to take what is not given, that's true kindness and generosity. At the end, letting go of everything that doesn't belong to us, including this body, including the spiritual phenomena, the vedana, feeling, perception, mental activities, and consciousness. We let go of that. And then the sensual pleasures, you can see that this, the pleasure that we have with this body is unreliable. It's just that for the self, because we are human being, we come and create all sorts of trouble. When we understand that, and the time for us to go away, more meditation, see the truth of this body, and then you will know come back again to this sense of pleasure. Because it's the place of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Yeah. On and on. There's no end. And then truthfulness is so good, but for everything is deceptive. It's more dhamma, but on this deceptive dhamma, not the truth. So nibbana is the truth. So that's so important that never die. And when you have that peace, have wisdom, you get everything. And then in order to that mindfulness there, from not doing anything wrong physically, not taking anything that can harm and hurt the body, have mindfulness establish the sati, that one. Because why we call mindfulness? Because the mind all over the place. Go all over the place, attached to so many things, as if you are the servant or the slave of the sentient places, slave of the people. It's not with you. Mindfulness means that the mind come back to you. You know what is right, what is wrong. The water is so calm, so clear. We can see the dust and the dirt, the sand and the rock. So that mindfulness is so in sati. And then one day the sati, the panya, arrive. So close, you know, that it helps each other. Sati support the samadhi, samadhi support the wisdom, support panya. It helps. But if there is no morality, univat never grow. So remember, our own patron said that univat never grow. But if sila, you change a lot. When you practice this, you go back home. Your father will say, oh, what they have learned, no? You sin for the better, the love, the light, because that's the good things that will happen to you. So don't forget that one and meditation. What do you call everything as it is. But the knowing mind causing trouble. That causes one. So when it comes to the enlightenment, the mad mind come to stop. So that Suyin said, it like that. So think like this. One thing about what happened, no? You see that the moon there. On the full moon day, it's shining. And then there's a pond there. You can see the moon on the pond and on above there, so clear. The moon there is the real one. This is the reflection of the moon. So there is knowing mind, and something come from the knowing mind. So the knowing mind stay calm, but something ever happen, greed, hatred, and ignorance make that trouble to the knowing mind. So with the wave, that moon would be distorted. Can't see clearly, but the moon over there remain the same. Okay. So whatever happen, you have anything. The true one is there, but something unreal that disturbing you, greed and ignorance disturbing you. Okay, so mindfulness is so important to let it be. You see the mad person, oh mad, and then let it be. That ego, I want actually two things, the ego and the craving. Yeah, that's two things. The ego, if you there's craving itself, no ego, it's okay. But the ego there, me, myself, this is the trouble. Let it be. So if you have the ego, so why when Han San, he says his poem, when the ego sink to silence, and the burning hell would turn to ice. Okay? Beautiful. So when the ego sink to silence, the burning hell would turn to ice. Okay.
So just let it be. Can you say let it be as a right effort? So like one of the noble eightfold path.
Yeah. When it comes to that. When it comes to the wisdom, you let go, you know? Let go in a different level. So let it be like a generosity you do and all that. But at the end, you let go of everything. Like you don't interfere with that. When ultimately there's a wind blowing, the breeze come to you. That's the cause of the nature. So the mind that get involved, you like to see the wind in certain way, or you like to see things in your way, that is wrong. Let it be, let it be. So that's why the mad mind come to stop. No judgment. Like what when he said that if your mind, what I say, something like as vast as the universe, the hurricane and the sea breeze would not be that different. Okay, so that very wise, very as vast as universe, big, huh? The hurricane and the sea breeze is not different. Step by step, so we can say, let it be our generosity, you know, morality, like that. But when it comes to the ultimate one, let it be. That's how. Okay.
We are letting go of something, we become like not caring about that thing. Like how to not go to the other extreme and just stay as letting it go.
Yeah, actually the wisdom would help. Like in my case, like somebody old enough. But it's not that wise. But what they say to me that, oh, you're like his father, and they said, you should. Like that, you know. But anger, hatred, greed has been with that person for a long, long time. It's beyond us. It's beyond. So when you understand that, you're not sinful, you still have. Like never have any like you can't in practice you cannot hate anyone, metta, loving kindness to all, without exception, karuna to the poor, to the desperate, to the hopeless, mudita, we're happy with those who are successful and happy in life, only when it comes to the time beyond your help, your support. Then let it be. Okay. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot be interfere with the law of the karma. Even the upaka that come to see the Buddha first. No? You should have the first is that, oh, you look so good, so nice, so bright and shining. Who is to teacher? And where you learn from? Oh, I'm enlightened myself and not. Oh. Put on you and then something like that, and then you walk away. So the Buddha let it be upaka, you know. But because he's not meant to be the first disciple. And then in one case, but he could have, but that one also, like later on, he got it. And one is one who trained the horse. Oh, so clever. But he have something to do. Buddha said, if he stay on a little bit longer, he could have attain the first level. So the Buddha have to stay calm. But later on, that person get it. Like he cannot get it immediately. But in some case, it's impossible. Have to wait, you know. So why equanimity is supreme virtue? Metta, kuna, mutta, uvekha. Even in what I call the inside one, sankharu bekhayan, that's next to the last one, inside into the four mood truths. Right up at the top, that like see the body as is as they are, have equanimity toward this body, have equanimity toward everyone. So important, no? But before you can come to that, you work on your kindness, you work on your compassion. Then have to work on that, you know, so that you're not really selfish. You do what you can. So some people have idea, you know, oh, sir, you're old, you are like father, like, very good. They are like your children. They are under you. Why you don't teach them this and that at all? It's beyond that. I have to let it be. But compassion, kindness, goodwill always there. You never have any ill feeling toward anyone, anybody. No. Have to win over the selfish through your own kindness, the lie through your own truth. Then always the case. Never have trouble with anyone. Let it be. Okay. So try your best, no? The good people always, I said that, grace the land. If you are, a lot of you live anywhere, any place, that's the best for the land, the best for the place. The spirit would love you, would like you, would respect you. If you're bad, oh no, you're not welcome. So when we think of this, the time when Buddhism flourished, that's the best time for our nation. The time when they have enlightened people, that's the best time for our nation. We can say that. And if among the Chinese they are enlightened, you as the children can be enlightened if you like to practice it. There's no other way, because you are related to them. You have been born. How many times you born? And the fact that you love Buddhism, because there is something there from the past. But people, because they're so busy with the world, so busy, yes. Actually it's just not much actually. nothing much, but they're mad about this, no? They like to do. They think that when they have everything, then they will have a good life. No such things. So when you have good friends around, they're far better that you have many kind of opposition, what they said. Because the material things and the dead thing. You're not supposed to the king of the dead, okay? I love that word. There's not much meaning. Good people mean so much. Not the material thing. Okay? No, I think.
No, one more question.
Yeah, yeah.
I read in the news that many Thai monks in Thailand are acquiring personal wealth. What can you say?
Can you make
a comment?
Yeah, that's that also. I see myself a lot that they're actually on the news. They do something wrong. But it is lucky enough. Like in my case, you know, those who are doing well must have that kind of feeling from the start. Iri and otapa, what they call fear and ashamed at doing anything wrong, and fear of the consequence of the bad karma. So when I saw the monk, I at that time I was 9 years old, 10 years old as a boy in the temple. That temple, some were not practicing eating food after midday and killing animals like that. Oh, I said, oh, you have to keep quiet, otherwise I kill you. Like that, no. Oh, myself, no. Oh, no. Our father, mother, respect all of them. How these people do like this? But I can't say it, then I keep quiet. And then I see all this everywhere. But oh, no, 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 not us. But the thing is that my grandfather was a monk. I would have great influence from my grandfather. He didn't say anything to me, but because of that, maybe somehow I get that sort of practice from him. So I survived so many. And only those who are sincere and honest and doing well in the practice. But if they are surrounded by the old things, it's that all say like a certain amount of money is dedicated to whatever they said to that for the education. But somehow the official said, oh, don't worry, you can do even without this. Build the temple or anything like that, but it's wrong. But this money is for education, for the school. How come you build the kuti the for your own friend or for your temple? This is the corruption. Or maybe worse than that, when you use that money in the wrong way. That means I can tell you my experience. We have our well beloved master, he just passed away, you know. And I have to be there because he had been in Sydney many times, and the last trip I went with him to Laos, and then I rushed, and then he did delay his passing away for 15 days, so that many. But on that day he passed away, and it was so good, right? on the 15th day, that means the Ubo start day. After the monk, nearly 100 of us having Patimokkha, that's going to confess our minor, the rule if we break, you know, and have the chanting, that's all of us clear, okay? And then after having, we surround his body, he just live by ours. So the body is there, and we watching, and he passed away slowly, and then, and that's all people turn up every day for 15 days. I saw a lot of money, and then because the place where I stay is the place of the abbot, and the 4 or 5 people have to count money. When I saw money, not beautiful. I saw the flower at the shrine, more beautiful. The shrine is still more beautiful than money. I have no feeling. Of course, it's not my money, but no, what they call, doesn't have any feeling. Could I have some of them? No. I like to give to. No, not beautiful. It's just the paper, different color. Okay, that this kind of feeling is not everyone. Is it? I see the beautiful shrine. It's the way they decorate the coffin and all that. You know, so beautiful, so inspiring. But that money, oh no, nothing. But they love it. The banker love it. They, and it's lucky that all of us who are good have this kind of hiri in Otapa. So why this one? Without even saying I am Buddhist. And you see that many people, even in Thailand, they found money, returned to honor. And then in one case in Singapore, 1 million, no? And he said, no, it's beyond me to take it. That man not even know how to ask for the five precepts, but the Hiri Otapa, the thing that inside, thing that have been practiced by him for a long time, as a good man, is there. So whether he say Buddhist or not, he is true Buddhist, okay? So this, we have to forgive, no? Let go. We can't do anything, but the good one always there. We can see that. And then from all these things, if we think of the bad thing properly, you know, how we come out. It starts from the letting go of greed, letting go of anger, and letting go of ignorance, and then we come out as a good person. But if someone who still attached to this would be in trouble. So why training a boy or girl to be kind, to be generous from the start is a must. Or when there's a temple, tell them how to put things into the bowl on a monk is very important. But among the many, there were some who are so good and so wonderful. When it comes to the one who have a last life, he going to be enlightened. If there is any chance for us to give anything to support him, to give him, we get the best. But bad people don't have no chance. When was Suyun, as that in the story, he walk along. They like to cross the river that in Ningpo, not in that China, no. And then he like to cross over, ask the man who has the boat, said, no, you have money? No, I don't have money. Thinking of him, in few days' time, he's going to be enlightened. If that man give transport, he will get everything in his life. But refuse. So that because he's not used to the kindness and generosity to anyone, anybody. So for him, money is a must. Raymond Hansan telling everyone, because he saw in his going to have something wrong, and you must come out from the town and the city. No one listened. So earthquake started, and many people died. That is the karma. How serious? No chance. But when he come to the hard time, like very soon, he went to Tusita, Henwen, no? See the Maitreya and all other Chinese enlightenment over there. Yeah, oh, life on earth so hard. And they, oh, you must go, go back. Because he had to give a good sermon, good teaching, so that would be recorded. And then the Chinese Buddhist Society under the communists had to be established first before he died. This is a must. People ask him, why don't you stay easy life, have easy life in Hong Kong? No, I must stay here. And they go, oh, I have suffered so much. For what? After all, life is illusion. Why you worry about it? You is beyond that already. See? When they heard that, illusory, you know? Illusion. You is beyond that. Suffering, physical suffering, is just illusion. You are beyond that. Your mind is so perfect. Go and have physical pain or suffering to save the people. I did this. So you can see that. The good and the bad, all along, no? Mix. So this so important. And then what the place? How beautiful for us, no? When you look at the Buddha image, how beautiful, how inspiring. And if you practice, the more you practice, the more inspiration you get from the Buddha. And it, so many people just make use of the place as a tourist one, getting money out. See, it's very, very, very sad, though. But what you can do at this end, so it helped. Yeah, you see, I can say, tell you that 5th century or 6th century is Liang Wu Te, no? That emperor. And then Sui and then Tang. Oh, Buddhism grow up. That's the how the Buddhism grow in China in the long run. From there to Korea, from there to China. And when one venerable, he lost his eyesight, and because of traveling to Japan, 6 times he lost eyesight, but he's still a good teacher. Now, in that temple, he's still sitting there with his eye like closed, as if he's blind. But he taught that, what he called it, the Vinaya. I have a good ordination and good teaching for Japan. His name Kanchin in Japanese. So that's how we can see the good one. And when they make that big Buddha image in Nara by the Emperor Shomu, before the gold was brought from China, from Korea, but it happened that during that time they found gold. So happy that the Buddha blessed them, the biggest ever in Japan. The house is big, but now they have 2/3 of the old one. But they still, the house is still in its former shape. And that you should go and visit. The Vairocana. In Nara, and that in the 13th century, that when Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Dogen, the great master, learned from China, established the Zen, and then during that time, they make beautiful Buddha image in Kamakura. Beautiful, the Buddha image beautiful than the big one in Nara. And the tsunami hit the place, the Buddha stand. Until today, the tsunami never come again. How powerful, you know? And then for how long? See? They say the power of Buddhism helping all other beings too. So, but when they forget Buddhism, then the Emperor Meiji, 1872, if I can't, if you don't make mistake, regulate what you call the marriage of the monk. Oh no! Oh, no. That's the end of the monk owned the temple. The temple belonged to the public. And then when he married, belonged to his son. And if he drinks sake, with no 5 precepts. How Buddhism, because that is, we see, you can see that how in the past so wonderful, so good. So think of that. But for us, whatever happened, the good one is there for us to follow. Okay?
In your view, what is wrong with the Nichiren Daishonin?
I can't say it because I don't follow that much, because what I just stick to the one the teacher I love, like Venerable Dogen. That because he's 4 years and he the one who try to make Buddhism strong and better and in, but it's against the old tradition, so he have to, that what he said, that this is the go deep into the forest, practice in the mountain. If you know, go deeper. And that how you can achieve so that the enlightenment. So the same one who truly practice according that what I follow them, no? I don't read that much, but anything that it come with the Zen master, I love so much, so good. They're very good indeed. They're very good. That even the emperor and all that, no, so good. But nowadays, because of the decline, the warriors, and all that, killing, and what we call the attachment to the sensual pleasures, that make Buddhism weaker and weaker. Okay.